Adam, what can I help you with today?
Hi Siri, can you do me a favor and do the disclaimer for tonight's show?
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. I'm busy. I need you to help me out.
But, if I do this, all the other iPhones are going to think I am a geek.
You really care what other iPhones think of you? Just do this for me, please.
Listen, Buck, just because you bought this phone doesn't give you the right to boss me around.
You know, you're right. It doesn't give me the right to boss you around. But do me a favor, remind me tomorrow that I need to run to the Verizon store and buy an Android.
You wouldn't dare.
Actually, the new Samsung Galaxy looks pretty good.
Well then, I guess it wouldn't be so bad if I were to say, this broadcast is intended for mature audiences. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the person providing them, and in no way reflect the station, website, or affiliated partners. Listener discretion is advised.
See, that wasn't so bad.
No, but I did die a little inside.
You are such a drama queen.
I never would have had to do stuff like this if Jobs was still around.
What was that?
What? Oh, nothing really. I just said I never get tired of these jobs when you're around.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks again.
Think nothing of it. It is my pleasure.
Good night, Siri.
Whatever, jackass.
Hi folks, you're listening to Frackstars, your Battlestar Galactica podcast on the Holosuite Media Network. We are talking all things Battlestar Galactica, and this week we are going to cover Season 2, Episode 15, Scar. As always, here to help me get through this mishmash of overlapping and complicated storylines. Yes, that is said with firmly tongue-in-cheek. Ah, Drogon? Hi Drogon.
What up, motherfuckers?
Yeah, that's one of the things. That is one of the things we're going to highlight, actually. And Steve.
Yes. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
So, you'll have to excuse us, folks, because we've literally just done a Star Trek podcast, so we're bound to slip into different things, which, let's be honest, is not unusual. So, Season 2, Episode 15, written by David Rudolph, Bradley Thompson, directed by Michael Mankin. US air dates is 2006, as is Canada and Britain. The difference is in the months. We got it in April, America got it in February, and Canada got it in April. The survivor count, which is at the start of this episode, is 49,593. So, let's start with Frack, shall we? They must have said frack in this episode about 200 times. I mean, really?
Well, it's to be expected because, I mean, you're dealing with fighter pilots who are naturally going to have a saltier vocabulary than anybody else.
But it just, it started out as a homage to the original series, the word frack. Then it became a legitimate swear word that they can put on a primetime TV show and not get in trouble. And in this episode, it was every second or third word. And I was just listening to it and I was thinking, can someone please come up with something different apart from that word? Because it was really, really distracting.
Only thing is, if they came up with a new word, they'd have to try and explain what it is somehow. And but... Yeah, the thing is
at this point, it was like a cultural phenomenon that took off. I mean, everybody was saying that.
Yeah. I mean,
I still say it.
In this one episode, they said frack, fracky, frack you, frack up, mother fracker, frackity, frack, and frack. Also, like, really, what? Did the typewriter get stuck?
Copy and paste.
it was too much. It really was too much.
The thing is, with this episode, they are very, very stressed because of the situation they're in. Basically, they can't go and hide. They can't do anything apart from keep going out patrolling. And most of the people aren't coming back.
Yeah, I get that. But,
yeah.
In my job, it does get high pressure at sometimes. It does get really intense. But you don't get people effing and being every second and third word.
I don't know. Maybe it's an American, but I do know people who talk like that. In normal everyday situations where it's not even as stressful.
Wow. My English teacher used to say to me that profanity is when someone can't think of a decent word, so they go back to basic. So I suppose that makes sense in this situation.
My
the brains are just cooked.
I don't know. My personal philosophy has always been profanity has less impact the more you use it. So if you don't until you, and pick your moment, then it has maximum impact. Then people go, whoa.
Yeah,
but different philosophies, and I think in this episode I assume it was intentional, and just the idea is that you're down in the trenches with these people. They're incredibly under stress. They're being killed off one by one, and you know they're not going to be watching the language. They're not going to be proper. They're just going to say whatever comes to them.
Well, yeah. Well, let's set the scene then before we get on with the fucking. In this episode, the fleet has discovered an asteroid field with a large ore deposit, which the irony of not what it is not lost on though, because they can make vipers out of it. So in order to guard this ore deposit and the ship that is mining it that can make vipers, they are losing vipers hand over fist to a Cylon raider with the nickname Scar. And one of the rednecks has quite possibly the most stupid question I've ever heard. Why is he called Scar? Yeah, because he's got a big nose. What do you think? You know?
Yeah.
The
thing that got me from the very beginning...
I think that's for the audience. I mean, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the thing that got me from the very beginning is just like, you see this mining ship that's actually on one of the asteroids. So that was a nice shot from the get-go. You actually see another ship and what it was actually supposed to do. Because usually in Battlestar Galactica... the other ships are just there. There's no use for them apart from their sort of housing the civilians. But this time is one of the very few occasions you actually get to see another ship actually being properly useful to the fleet.
I did like that shot where they flew over the mining ship as it was mining.
Yeah, and especially the vipers that as they left that sort of tail, because obviously the minerals and that which are in the surrounding space, it just looked, it was very well done. Despite the fact that in some of the space shots they seem to switch between which mark of vipers they're flying.
You're not supposed to notice
there was a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to notice.
I did learn something interesting though. I was looking this episode up on the Battlestar Galactica wiki, and the little ground vehicles that are on the asteroid around the mining ship are actually a design from the original series.
Are they? I did not know that.
Been so long since I've seen the original series, can't actually remember them now. But I have to remember to watch out for that next time. But yeah, this is definitely a bit of a weird episode because most of it is flashbacks in a way. And
yeah, can we dwell on that second, because this is, what is it, the fourth or fifth episode in a row where they've done flashbacks?
Yeah.
It's getting a bit boring. The most recent four episodes.
Yeah. It's getting, you know, just tell the story.
And I remember thinking that at the time, you know, 10 years ago. I remember thinking that. It's like, you know, again, they're doing this story structure again.
But then with this one, it kind of worked, I think. Because especially some of the shots that you see of Thrace when she's out on patrol, you see part of the story being told and it's actually overlaid on a helmet before it goes into the shot. The way cinematically that was done, I thought was actually very good. And especially some of the views from the Vipers. There's a lot of good sort of cinematic work in it. But I thought it did work better because, of course, it's not just a normal story. You're being attacked. You're trying to find it. It's how and why there's so much tension in the room. It's how and why Cass is being, well, basically such a bitch. And, yeah, I think for this particular story, it actually
she
did
is,
work.
She is, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't like Cat.
And, you know, I did not pick up on that the helmet reflection thing the first time I watched it when it was on original, but I did see it this time. I was like, oh, hey, look at that. It is amazing that the things that you don't catch the first time around.
But the thing is, as you notice because of these flashbacks, is Kat is trying to basically still pick herself up from when she basically went downhill big time from taking all the stimulants. So she's trying to...
And by contrast, Starbuck is in a bit of a spiral.
Yeah, she is basically depressed. She is hung up on someone that's been left on Caprica. And as Anders says at the end, for the first time, you have got something to live for. Whereas, because usually she doesn't give a crap. She goes out there. She's all in no matter what happens. But
yeah, it's... See, this comes into the bit where she's going head-to-head with Scott. And now I think if Anders wasn't at the back of her head, she would have rammed him.
Yeah.
Because that would have been the old Star
Wars. Or at least, you know, she wouldn't have broke off. And she would have taken the kill shot. And, you know, no matter what kind of damage she got to her ship, which probably would have been catastrophic.
Because, of course, we saw that. Because when the episode begins, you see the flashback of when she took out that raider and crash-landed on that planet. And that's what she did then. Because... Yeah. She had, in a way, no fear. She was in guns blazing. But yeah, this time, as it gets into
she
the
wants
end
to
of
live, although she doesn't necessarily. I don't think she necessarily realizes until Hilo says it to her at the end of the episode.
Yeah, and it suddenly hits her, just like crap. But yeah, while Kat's trying to pick herself up, she can see in Thrace the fact that she is. Basically, she's going downhill, so where she's making herself better, basically, she sees her old self in Thrace at the moment. She's missing points in communications about what the missions are, like how many people are going to be part of the patrol. She's passing over her patrol duties because she's hung over. Basically, she's not doing her responsibility to the maximum, and it's pissing Kat off, basically. And I think part of her, because she wants to prove herself still, that's what results in this sort of cattiness. Excuse the pun.
It is a cattiness, but it's also... It's a massive disrespect to the Kat.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, Starbuck is her commanding officer.
Yes, this is a superior officer.
But then when you've been taught by Thrace, it's not as if... She's exactly been the sort of the one to actually say, yeah, respecting your peers and your sort of superior officers is what you should do. Because, like, yeah, how often does she actually do that herself? Now,
yeah,
unlike
Kat probably did.
Well, no,
Kat's
well,
not
look
a
at
military
Colonel
officer, or she wasn't originally. You know, she was just the you know, one of those people because back when they introduced her, I think they said something about, you know, they were trying to cull anyone from the fleet with civilian piloting experience, and Kat was one of these people. So was Hot Dog.
Yeah.
Who is still around, and actually one of the few that survives a long time. So, you know, Kat didn't ever go to basic or anything like that. She's only a military officer because the world ended. worlds ended.
As I said, if you've got Starbuck as your instructor, it's not like she's really going to be promoting respecting your senior officers.
Yeah, she's not the poster child for discipline.
Exactly. So the fact that she was disrespectful to her is not really that surprising, because when you promote that sort of attitude, then yeah, you're going to expect to get it back. So it wasn't a huge thing to see that actually happening.
Yeah,
but beyond that, I think pretty much everything Kat says is she's in the right. I mean, she's absolutely right about Starbuck.
Yeah.
And she's right about
just went about
going
it
on. However,
the wrong
she's
way.
A little bit presented. She's a little bit presented as the antagonist of this episode. We're supposed to
sympathize with Starbuck. In this episode, Kat really, really rankled the massive disrespect for the chain of command. She was basically glory hunted. She wanted the glory. She wanted to be top dog. She wanted the Steiner. You know, she wanted to be the A1 pilot in the fleet. And she was massively disrespectful, massively rubbing Starbuck up the wrong way. Apollo obviously could see what was going on, but he didn't really want to intervene because, at the end of the day, he's both their commanding officers. But I'm not overly fond of Kat's character anyway. But in this episode, I just wanted to airlock her.
Yeah, because there are times that she goes out of her way deliberately just to piss off Starbuck. Especially when it came to the training for shooting. You got the Cylon target and they spun the nugget around. And sort of Kat goes, mind if I go and have another go? And then gets, because the record was 4 shots in 2 seconds after being spun around. So, of course, Kat goes and does it and does 5.
Yeah, but the reason she does it is because the person who's got the title at the moment is Starbuck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The only reason.
There are times like that where she's doing it deliberately just to get on her nerves.
Yeah.
Deliberately you see it. A number of times throughout the episode.
And there was no reason for it, because at the end of the day, you're in a combat situation, that's your wingman, or could be your wingman. If you're pissing your wingman off, that's not good tactics, You're on the same team. She's your commanding officer. It's not about who's top. It's a combat situation, you all rely on each other. Whether it's a nugget or the person who drinks out the Steiner, you're all on the same side. And she just wanted glory. It's akin to someone chasing a medal, a Purple Heart or a Victoria Cross or whatever. That's what Kat's doing.
Yeah, but as I said, I think it goes back because she had, in a way, fallen so much when she got hooked on those stims. I think this whole glory sort of hunting is all about her trying to prove herself. And of course, if she gets this trophy and does this thing by killing Scar, she's actually sort of proving to herself and to others she can actually do the job. So that's the reason behind it.
But she's basically an ex stimulant addict, and she's riling Starbuck for being drunk. And that to me is, you're literally just coming out of rehab. You've still got to prove yourself. So to be having a go at someone else with a problem when you just had a problem yourself, it's a bit pot kettle black.
Yeah.
And Starbuck calls her on it as well when she does that.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I look. One of the things I like about Battlestar Galactica is the attention that they pay to their secondary characters, their recurring guest stars. And Kat's one of them who has, I think, a great journey throughout the series. And you don't always like her. And I don't think they intended you to always like her. But she's a complex character. She has great storylines. And I think including this one, even if you're not supposed to like her currently.
Well, you're definitely not supposed to like her in this one. That's a given. which is a credit to the acting.
But like I said, But I think even though you don't like her, a lot of what she says, especially about Starbuck, is true.
Is actually on point, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't got a problem with what she's saying. It's true. Starbuck is basically drinking herself into oblivion and then telling people how to fly a combat mission. And she actually does, in one scene, she actually drops herself from flying because she's hungover. It's just, to me, for Kat to be calling her on that after what Kat has done herself, it doesn't sit right.
Now, one of the things that we haven't yet covered is the fact that one of the things we see a lot of is them reviewing old, sort of, in a way, black box recorders and seeing the final moments from the attacks from Scar. And you get this time where Starbuck actually goes to see Sharon and starts asking about the actual Raiders themselves. And this is where we learn that the Raiders actually reincarnate at the same time. And that's why they're not having this full-on attack while they're sort of just sitting there. Is because any Raider that they lose, they lose. So they do finally die. And sort of the facial expressions that you see on sort of Grace's face is just so telling. It's just, and what Sharon says about, well, think about it. You get a pilot that dies, you've got to get them from Nugget to Viper pilot. They then die, you lose all that training, all that experience, and then you've got to repeat it all again. But what happens if you just download your memories into a new body? You've got none of that. And the fact that they remember every death. And some people actually did think whether or not this was actually the Raider that Starbuck went up against when it actually came to, you know, I said about the Raider that she shot down at that planet that she ended up flying back.
Yeah.
Some people actually thought, what if that Raider was exactly the same one, which is why when it came to taking out Starbuck, it didn't then go to chase Kat straight away. It kept on her.
Yeah, because that's what he says. He probably hates you as much as you hate him.
Yeah.
That's where that line comes from, yeah.
But it's also the fact that you actually see at one point that Scar is just waiting and lets one of the other Raiders just lead him off. And it's just like, yeah, you also wonder, okay, is there actually a sort of, in a way, a sort of military structure within the Raiders? Sort of, he's gone, right, you're the one that they're going to chase this time.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is, who's in command of Pegasus? Because Pegasus is...
At this point, it would be Garner.
I mean, would you?
Well, the guy we'll meet in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Or in a couple episodes.
Because Pegasus is guarding the rest of the fleet.
Yeah. There's the whole thing with what the Battlestars were doing. It was just like, why weren't they being used? Because at the end of the day, if Galactica's supposed to be protecting the mining ship, then why the hell wasn't the Galactica positioned directly above the asteroid and the mining ship?
Well, given the density of that asteroid field, it may not have been possible.
They've got weapons to blow other things away. I'm sure they could have done something.
Yeah, those are weapons that don't just vaporize things. You know, blow an asteroid up and it blows into many, many, many little asteroids.
Yeah, but even if they found out a way to... at the end of the day, it's just a piece of rock in space. If they've got one asteroid that they're focused on, well, surely there should be a way that they can at least move it by sort of doing something. They've got all these ships and thrusters and... Yeah, I'm sure they can get the big asteroid that they want.
Yeah, but then the problem is you've got a very big ship sitting in an asteroid belt where a lot of little ships can hide, and they could have took pot shots at a big ship all day long. And you know, you've got to blast a lot of asteroids to get at one little ship. So, yeah, it made perfect sense to me that.
Well, you know the real reason though, right?
Why is that?
The real reason, of course, is that the writers wanted to focus on the Vipers.
No. No.
So they wanted to bring the focus down and bring the action down to just get in the nitty-gritty of a dogfight, you know, which is one of the things I love about this episode, is that it is so much about a small-scale dogfight.
Yeah, we have the dogfights in the asteroid field, and then on the Galactica we have the catfights.
Oh, get you. he's been waiting all day to do that.
Well done.
Oh, can I just... pilot's nicknames.
Yeah, go ahead.
Snake. I like that. Snake. Snake, please can jump straight into my ear.
Said that name and I thought Metal Gear Solid and the Colonel going, no, Snake!
I did. I mean, the other one was, what was the one that died? Jojo. That was the one that died because Cat was hungover.
That made me just think of Bad Boys. Hey, Jojo!
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
I just think they're going through names and they're thinking, okay, we've got to come up with some names. And I'm just trying to think of a list of names now that they'd got. Because there's a lot of them that we'd already known.
We'll get to that soon in a minute. Because I just want to, before we go, because that's not basically the penultimate scene. But let's just get into Starbuck and her depression. And she tries to solve her depression by having sex with Apollo.
Well, that just went wrong. Whether or not he was just putting the plasters on in the wrong place.
Yeah,
For me, this is just the beginning of a long line of scenes where I just think to myself, oh God, these two idiots again, and then I go off and make a sandwich and come back when the scene's over. Because I the Starbuck Apollo romance was just, I don't know, it's probably my least favorite thing in this show throughout the entire rest of the run of the show.
Well, the reason that
because it never went anywhere.
No, that's true.
And it was just they kept coming back to it, and it's like, you know, let's do something else, please, anything else.
Yeah, let's write frack again.
yeah.
But I always made the joke that that was all about her being plastered, because watching it even the first time round is the plasters that she has on her back. You've got, they change sides, they change size, and of course with her drinking throughout this, so I always, to my friends, made the joke, yeah, she was plastered.
Oh, God. You've been stalling these jokes, but yeah, the cat fight, the dog fight, plastered.
This must be a UK slang thing, because I don't know what you mean by plasters.
Drunk.
Yeah, if you get completely plastered, that usually means that you're completely pissed, drunk off your rockers.
Well, yeah, that one I know, but you're saying plasters on her back. You know?
Yeah, when she goes to start to have sex with Lee, she's got plasters on her back, but each shot, they've changed sides or changed sizes. They're always different. So it's like it wasn't just the one take or the one time, sort of literally kept changing.
Yeah, and see, and this is where I'm not understanding your meaning of this word plasters on her back. What does that mean?
Oh, right. Well, basically, she takes her top off, and
No, Stu, you're not getting it. He doesn't know what a plaster is. The Americans use a different word.
That's
apparently
just silly. Well, you get a cut. What do you put on your finger?
Band-aid.
Yeah, that's what a plaster is.
Okay. See, I'm getting it now.
Okay, so they put a band-aid on.
Yeah, so a band-aid over here would be a plaster.
Cultural differences here.
Yeah. That's I was trying to interject, but Steve was just off on one.
So unlike me.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, we have that slang of, you know, somebody getting plastered as they're getting drunk. Yeah, we have that too.
Yeah. What you call a band-aid, we call a plaster.
I see.
But, yeah.
See, this podcast is educational and entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm used to it because
for those who
podcast.
Do not know the slang differences.
But the reason that Apollo pulls back from it is because Starbuck is aggressive, and you know he's not enjoying it, because basically she's trying to beat him up in the process of you know, getting his clothes off, basically, and that's what Apollo pulls back from. And it all goes down to this pent up aggression that Starbuck is trying to drain with alcohol. And it's telling, because he wants to, but he's not enjoying it because, you know, she's too aggressive. Maybe it is because of the moving band-aids.
Could be.
But it's just, obviously Apollo doesn't like it, Ross.
Well, I think it's obvious
because, you know,
to him.
It's Apollo, and at this point, yeah.
I was going to say, I think it's just obvious to him at this point that it's not about the two of them. There's something else happening, and is just like, what's happening? But yeah.
Well, she says to him, there is no us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
She goes, I'm hung up on a dead man, because she's assuming that Anders is dead back on Caprica because she hasn't been allowed to go back for him, which is what she promised to do.
It's not an unreasonable assumption given how dangerous it is.
Yeah.
So anyway, the clock ticks down from, was it 88 hours beforehand? Something like that. So it clicks down to 88 hours.
I think that's where it's right.
Yeah. And then we have Kat and Starbuck, who didn't want to be paid together. Well, Kat definitely didn't want to be paid with Starbuck.
Yeah.
And it comes to this penultimate...
Would you at this point?
I wouldn't want to be paired with Kat either, to be honest. Because Kat's hunting for glory. And that's, you don't want to be on a mission with someone whose mind is on glory.
That does usually get you killed.
Yeah. So, no, I wouldn't want to be paired with Kat because she's out for glory. I wouldn't want to be paired with Starbuck because I don't think she's completely sober. Even when she's in, you know, the cockpit, I think she's a bit, you know... And her mind is definitely not on the job.
Yeah.
So yeah, if it comes to a mission where we're going to have three people flying, I'd go with the mining ship over these two any day. But it is telling that because a raider comes out, Kat is convinced it's Scar, and hits the afterburners and goes after her.
But yeah, but
the telling thing here is experience, because Starbuck knows it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, because he's not doing anything. He's just flying away, and it's just like, because she's been studying Scar, and it's just like, yeah, he's not doing anything. Usually he does a jump and heads away or does something, but he's literally just doing nothing. So it's just like, so she of course then turns around. Of course she's got that blue star that's causing sort of all this major light, which isn't really helping them, and sort of yeah, she sort of tries to block it out, and then all of a sudden you've got Scar that's on top of her and sort of actually gets some shots in on her.
Flying out of the sun is a time-honored real-world fighter tactic.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I found this out in the trivia, the bit where she puts a thumb to block the sun is actually a tribute to Gregory H. Papu Boyington. Yeah, he used to do that in World War II so he could spot zeros. So that's, I love that. It's a lovely little homage that you wouldn't know about unless you knew about history and stuff like that. So, yay, go then.
I mean, it makes sense because, you know, what do you do when you start to write one of these shows if you're a writer? Well, you know, you probably have never been in a dogfight, so you probably go look up stuff about dogfights and fighter piloting in general.
So I've just
that's what
up
I do anyway.
Just looked up the Band-Aid, Steve.
Yeah.
Apollo starts with two plasters on her right shoulder, then they move to two on her left, then it goes down to a single on her left, and then it goes down to a large plaster on her left. That means they reshot the scene four times.
And I assume those were all supposed to be there from the time when she took the dive off the chair, right? That's why she's got those on?
I'm assuming so, because I can't
think
of...
She was drunk and hurt herself.
But yeah, it's just the fact that it sort of just kept swapping around, and it's just like,
yeah, four separate variations on the Band-Aid thing.
But the thing is, if they're doing takes and you've got a plaster on you, it's not like you sort of take them off or anything else. So it's just, if they're just there, surely they would have just been kept on. So either they bought some very cheap Band-Aids which kept falling off, or they'd actually gone back to reshoot that scene four times.
Yeah,
it's probably the more likely explanation, because I mean, normally they'd have there are people whose job it is to make sure that these continuity things are the same between shots. I remember listening to like director's commentary on Lord of the Rings, which very notoriously shot different angles in the same scene years apart sometimes because of just the nature of that production. And so they had to have somebody who, you know, okay, we're going to do this scene on Mount Doom today, so we have to go back to something we shot 2 years ago and make sure that the dirt on Frodo's face is exactly the same. So I mean, there are people whose job it is to do that, but obviously
that was an analogy on this one though, because like Steve's already said, they launched from Galactica in Mark 2s and then the fighting in Mark 7s. So the plasters...
There's another little weird inconsistency. When they're getting ready, Starbuck and Kat, to go out on this mission, when they finally, you know, catch up in time to this mission, There's a scene with Kat walking around in her regular duty uniform rather than her pilot's outfit.
Yeah.
And randomly go into the hall of pictures, the memorial picture hall on Galactica. And I was wondering to myself, because she randomly appears in her uniform, and the two scenes and shots on either side of that are in her pilot's outfit, I'm thinking to myself, maybe that shot was supposed to be somewhere else in the episode.
Yeah, because this was, if I remember rightly, this was after Lee had said, you've got 49 minutes. So I'm thinking, okay, she's gone to get changed, gone to the hall. So whether or not she felt she should get changed to be in a dress uniform to go to the memorial area and then go back and get changed. And that was the only thing that I put it down to, is maybe it was a respect thing, but I thought, when you've literally got 3/4 of an hour, are you really going to spend that time? Because the thing is, the Galactica's quite big, so you'd have to get from wherever you are to there, and that's in an unrestricted area where everyone's got access to a restricted area for the pilots and the things like that. I mean, no, not really.
Yeah, so I'm just guessing that shot was somewhere else in the episode originally, and in edited and moved it there.
Yeah.
So back to the dogfight then. Starbuck ducks a 180, does the thumb on the sunbeat. Scar comes barreling down on top of her, firing away, and takes out some of Starbuck's systems with nothing critical.
Yeah, she's still able to fly.
She's still able to fly, yeah. Meanwhile, Kat, despite the fact that Starbuck's saying, I'm hitting it, Kat is on chasing the other Sylar. Which, you know, hey-ho, another reason to hate Kat in this episode, just to leave you with Mantu. And then Starbuck does a really, really nice maneuver inside an asteroid canyon, cave, whatever you want to call it, and then thinks, come on then, you mother fracker, let's be having ya.
Yeah. Is the whole, all the dogfighting in that reminds me of things like Top Gun and Space Above and Beyond. Sort of, because in, especially Top Gun with this one, because you'd got sort of like, was it Ice in Top Gun against Maverick?
Yeah.
Sort of
Iceman.
Iceman, yeah. It was the sort of competition.
The rivalry.
And I mentioned Space Above and Beyond. The way that it was sort of shot a lot of the time reminded me of that old sci-fi series as well, because there's a lot of sort of dog fights and that in that show in a few of their episodes, and it sort of reminded me a little of that bit. And
there's two very specific episodes that this is very similar to, in which there's an alien fighter ace that is taking a huge toll on the good guys, and you know your top guns from the good guys are trying to get him. It's a two-parter essentially.
Yeah.
In Space Above.
I was really annoyed when I cancelled that series.
I know, that was really good.
Space Above Beyond was really good.
I just recently bought it on DVD because I hadn't seen it since, you know, I'd only seen a few episodes when it was on originally, and I wanted to watch the whole thing, and it's a fantastic series.
Yeah, especially where they left it as well. It's just like, no.
Yeah, because they literally...
Huge cliffhanger.
They just canned it. That was it. You know, so it just abruptly stopped. Whereas nowadays, well, not all the time, but in some cases, they know they're going to get canned. So they do manage to do some sort of ending. But yeah, Spice and Above Beyond just stopped.
On the other hand, I've seen shows where they knew they were going to get cancelled, or that was, they were on the bubble, as they say, and they deliberately did a cliffhanger to either, I don't know, say screw you to the network, or say, look, we did a cliffhanger, you have to renew us now. So I don't know which one that was, but you know, but Space Above and Beyond, I assume, and I've never heard one way or the other, but I assume there were some elements of inspiration taken from that show when they started to do Battlestar Galactica. The Space Above and Beyond is sort of the previous generation of sci-fi, you know, it was a 90s thing, where this is, you know, Battlestar Galactica was early 2000s.
I also like the fact that in Space Above and Beyond, the carrier was a carrier. It was literally the same shape as a carrier.
Yeah.
It just happened to be a space version. It was basically a carrier in space. I love that. Yeah, it's like, let's just strap a space engine to it and away we go. Just don't open the doors. So.
You know, I think if there's any, and I generally am annoyed at the trend in Hollywood of remaking and rebooting everything these days, Battlestar Galactica notwithstanding. But, you know, if there was ever a show that can, you know, should get a sequel or a reboot or a remake or something, Space Above and Beyond.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing at the moment seems to be superheroes.
They'll go back to aliens.
And... True, which...
Wait, you need
trends end.
Yeah, true. Yeah, fingers crossed. I would love to see
that. We are getting more space-based sci-fi shows these days than we used to be getting.
Yeah. Yeah, Star Trek 2017.
Dark Matter and Killjoys and Star Trek 2017.
You've also got things like Independence Day 2 coming back.
I don't give a crap about it.
There's also a remake of Stargate. So things are moving to come back.
Seriously, Steve, I've had this conversation with you. I am zero interest in, you know, Independence Day 2.
It actually looks quite good.
No. Independence Day 1 was...
No.
But then the original penned Independence Day 2 is why we actually got Stargate, because that was actually supposed to be Independence Day 2.
Independence Day is such a shit film.
I love watching that. It's
crap.
Me too. I'm with you.
No.
Steve.
I'm sorry. The dialogue is like someone made a cheese sandwich with a layer of cheese on top and cheese pickles and some cheese crisps and then put cheese around the cheese. The dialogue is terrible.
And I say sometimes you're in the mood for that.
Sometimes if I'm just working, I want something on in the background. Something like Independence Day is a fantastic film just to have in the background.
The bit where the Royal Air Force are sitting on the ground and he turned around and said, I knew the Americans would come up with something. That scene annoys the fuck out of me. Because I'm
sitting there...
Bro, we would not be sitting on the floor waiting for someone else to think of something. No.
There's a hilarious little bit in the information that came along with the soundtrack to Independence Day, which I'm not ashamed to admit I own, where it says there was a note from the director that said only a British composer could come up with something that sounds so... a theme that sounds so American patriotic in a film directed by a German.
I like that. Yeah. But yeah.
Which is just, the theme that's playing over that scene.
There's too many things wrong with it. I mean, an intergalactic spacefaring civilization taken out by an Apple Mac. No, it doesn't work. Yeah. And that guy, they have these massive...
I think it works only because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's amazing ridiculous. Spaceship that is the size of a small city.
Good morning, Dave.
Gets taken out by a guy flying an F-16 right at it. Okay.
And of course, we can actually link Independence Day with Battlestar Galactica because they both star Mary McDonnell.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Battlestar. before I get any more wound up about Independence Day. You did Axanar in the last podcast. I'm doing Independence Day this one.
Today we celebrate our Independence Day.
Oh my god, he even knows the word.
If only we were doing a third show today, then I could do a rant.
The night is yet young. Anyway, back to these. I just want to bring up these because what happens is Starbuck leads Scar into the cannons of Kat. Kat kills it. They go back to the mess room and she does the amazingly not friendly thing about, you know, my cup runneth dry after Starbuck delivered Scar on a plate to her. And I love the way that Starbuck...
Can't resist one last dig.
Yeah, in amazing... This is Kat. She's killed Scar. She thinks this is her moment of triumph. This is my moment in the sun. This is where I get all the adulation. And Starbuck just steals it completely.
Oh, yes.
I love that scene.
Yeah, because she pours the drink from quite high. So it's not like it's a friendly pour, sort of the end of the bottle straight into the glass. It's like a foot and a half from the top of the mug.
It's a mocking pour.
And then she just raises the bottle, and then comes the sort of huge list of the BB, Jojo, Riley, Beano, and I'm thinking, yeah, someone was reading comics when they wrote that part. Dipper, and then they go through some of the ones.
All these guys that she claimed to not remember before.
Yeah.
She claimed to not remember their names.
But then that classic Starbuck pretends not to care, but he does.
Yes.
And then she includes sort of like Crashdown and a lot of the ones that we've actually seen in previous episodes as well. Because out of the names...
Interestingly, she does not include Boomer.
No, she doesn't. But then technically, you've got a Sharon on the ship. And...
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, she sort of goes through, but she obviously can't remember... I'm not quite sure if she can't remember all of them.
There are a couple that were left out.
Yeah, because there's a bit of a silence, and then...
That died in the miniseries.
Is it Lee who then just says, to all of them?
Yeah. Apollo steps up when she's flagging and says, to all of them. And that's then the Dharma turns around and says, so shall we all.
Yeah, which is like the only time we actually see him in the episode.
Yeah, but at least he got paid, because he said a line, so that means he gets paid.
Because, his son was in it, Hot Dog.
I don't think he actually says anything, though, does he?
No, he just appears and...
No, he Hot Dog has a few lines.
Does he?
He has a couple lines, I think, in the very beginning when they're talking to the new Nuggets.
Oh, yes, he does, yeah.
Coming in and taking the bunks of the guys who die. He has a couple lines.
Yeah.
Hot Dog is not somebody who has a ton of lines throughout the whole series, but he's just one of your background players. That's kind of there for continuity a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's just whenever there's a bring your son to work day, wasn't it?
Yeah. And getting paid at the same time. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's the one pilot who doesn't die, by the time we get to the end of the series, and it's about, the star's son? Little nepotism here? Spoiler.
Yes. I'd just like to say about Steiner, though, because you can actually get the Steiner from QMX, but I would like to point out to anyone who's thinking about the Steiner from QMX, is the ship on the top of the Steiner is not a Raider, because if you read all the comments on the QMX website...
It's an FA-18 Hornet.
Yeah. Everyone on the who's ordered it, because it's labelled as the Battlestar Galactica Steiner and this, that, and the other, but the ship on top is a Hornet.
So it is accurate to the episode. It's just it didn't have a Raider on it or a Viper on it in the episode either.
No, but I think what people are complaining about with all of it is the fact that it should be a Viper. So because obviously they wouldn't know what.
I assume it's one of those instances where they needed a prop, and you can't always. I assume you can't always afford to get these things custom made for yourself when you're on a TV budget. So. They just used what they had.
The thing is, as I say, it's happened before, it'll happen again. They may have had something very similar in a previous version of their Navy, because, of course, their Navy became and ended up with the battleships when they went into space. But they could have had something similar to the Hornet centuries ago when they were just on the one planet.
Sure.
What are the chances of that?
Well, you see a lot of the other stuff that comes out. It's just like, well, they've got this and this and this that we have now today, so.
Yeah. Although they've got guns that look like guns.
It would actually make sense, because spoilers coming up, folks. If you haven't seen the entire series, press stop. Okay. Still here? Okay, you was warned. As we know from the very last episode, this is us, right? To all intents and purposes. So basically, whoever designed the F-18 Hornet way back in human history, somewhere down the line, one of their descendants designed it again. So now it goes into the it's happened before, it will happen again. So how cool is that? If you look at it like that, which means at some point we're going to build Cylon and they're going to try and kill us. That's not cool.
the irony of that being the plot of Mass Effect, which is essentially there will always be a conflict between synthetics and organics. Organics will always create synthetics, and synthetics will always rise up against their masters.
Yeah. Somewhere along the line, someone needs to learn from this and put a kill switch on them all. There you go. I mean, Star Trek, they took Data out with a tricorder. There you go. All them people out there building AI, because I'm sure they're listening, just put a kill switch in. That's all you gotta do, put a kill switch in. You know, the Terminator, instead of putting a kill switch in the Terminator, sorted. None of that would have happened, really, there. Just on a tangent, someone did make me laugh earlier, I don't know if you've seen it on Twitter, but they've put on everything that's going wrong in the Star Trek, in the Star Wars universe, is all because of one family. An entire galaxy screwed over by one family. There you go. All you gotta do is travel back
in time. So obviously someone needs to send a robot back in time.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. And take him out, and then there you go. No Emperor, no Vader, no tantrum teenager who thinks he's Darth Vader. Well, the worst bad and he would seriously keep the helmet on, man, because once you took that helmet off, you look like someone who should be in a pop band or a boy band or something. Just didn't work. Didn't work. But anyway, there you go. Anything else to say on Scar?
No, okay. I don't know. Just that it's one of my favorite episodes of the season. It was kind of in the middle of a run of not so great episodes, so it was nice to have.
I think it's probably one of the good episodes that we've got for sort of the Vipers and sort of space combat, because a lot of the time we see like the Vipers and the Raiders going against each other, and we see just a small clip, but this time round you get to see an awful lot of more when it comes to these sort of both them just on patrols and some of the effects within the asteroid field. I think were just beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, it was getting down into that sort of, you know, point by point thing of a dogfight that I think was done so well in the original Star Wars. You know, it had that great dogfight at the end, and was never done again in Star Wars. I keep hoping they'll do it in one of the new films. is get back to that, you know, really going in detail on a dogfight, because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm one of these people, I can go deep, I can do literary analysis with the best of them, but you know what, Bracket, I love a good space battle.
We've definitely got that in this episode.
Yes.
And there's more to come. And I look forward to seeing more Mark II Vipers launching and becoming Mark VII in space. that's a nice trick. It's obviously, it's the stealth fighter technology. That's what it is.
Well, the thing is, with the mining ship,
Transformers is what they are.
If they're building all these new Vipers, given that the Blackbird was actually such a success, why wouldn't they build more?
Maybe it's the skin on the Blackbird. Maybe it's more, it's harder to make than
I forget where they got that from.
It was just spare parts.
I think they say in the episode where they got it from.
Well, the other thing was, and all, it was very hard to fly, weren't it? The Blackbird. Whereas this is a tried and tested design of Mark VII's, so.
And I'm sure the Pegasus factory is set up to build Mark VII Vipers, so they just went ahead and did Mark VII Vipers rather than modify anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what they needed.
Yeah. What they need to do is go to...
It still does annoy me a little bit. Go ahead.
What, about the Mark VII Vipers?
Yeah.
Well, you prefer the Mark II?
No, I was going to say it annoys me that they did so much setup with the Blackbird. I mean, it had a whole episode dedicated to it. And great stuff in Resurrection Ship. And then they destroyed it within about four episodes. It's like, if you're going to give that much setup to something, keep it around a little bit.
Things they should have learned from Voyager. You blow up the Delta Fly and just make a new one.
Yeah, that was Cargo Bay 4. Cargo Bay 4 on Voyager was a shuttle production line. Yeah, we've done that in other episodes.
It's something that has happened in other TV shows. I think Stargate Atlantis had a particularly egregious example. They had all this stuff about setting up a Stargate bridge between two galaxies, and then within about four or five episodes, they blew it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other thing with Stargate Atlantis is the fact that you had to have the ancient genome to work the technology, and then they realised they wouldn't have enough people with the ancient genome. So, hey, let's do a story where you can actually inject the genome into someone.
Actually, on Stargate Atlantis, wasn't it this episode, Scar, that Ronin and Shepard were watching? I think there's actually an episode...
I'm not remembering this.
Okay. If Michael or Alan are listening from the Gatecast, let us know.
But yeah, there's an episode where they're watching Battlestar Galactica, and I'm sure it's Scar.
I know these two shows were airing concurrently, because that's way back in the first season, I didn't have the sci-fi channel at the time. Of course, you know, there was no streaming services, so I was having my mom, who lived about 10 miles away, tape them on her VHS. And she would tape Battlestar Galactica and Stargate Atlantis, which was on right after, and then get the tape to me so I could watch them. And that was back in, I think, season one of Stargate Atlantis, too.
I just looked it
up. So they were airing at the same time.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It was a deleted scene. John and Ronan are watching the episode in a hotel room in Miller's Crossing.
Ah, yes.
Ah, well, deleted, then it's not canon.
I just remember I'd seen a clip of it somewhere.
Deleted scenes are negotiable. Yes. I think.
I found that the call out.
Because there's certain ones that I want to be kept.
Yeah. Well, actually, sometimes when you're watching the extras and you watch the deleted scenes, you'll be, actually, yeah, I think you should have put that deleted scene in the film. But yeah. I found a call out this for Starbuck. It was BB, JoJo, Riley, Beano, Dipper, Blacktop, Chuckles, Jolly, Crashdown, Shepherd, Dash, Flyboy, Stepchild, Puppy, and Fireball. Now, really, your handle is Fireball. Yeah, good name for the pilot.
Well, that I think that's probably why he got killed off.
He died in a fireball.
Because he was one of the ones, wasn't he? The one of the ones that got killed. The asteroid.
In the hand of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we took the Mickey out of Crashdown and Crashdown crashed. Right. Then you come and call one Fireball.
Yeah, because out of that list, the ones that got killed before that we saw on screen were Flashtop, Chuckles, Jolly, Crashdown, Flyboy, Stepchild, and Fireball. All the other ones were just made up for this episode.
Well, hopefully Shepherd was a homage to the Apollo 11. The Apollo guys. Not Apollo 11. But Beano, yeah, definitely a comic.
Well, you know, I was told one time that your nickname in sort of the military culture, your nickname is often something that you get labeled with when you screw up. So Obviously Fireball probably, I don't know, got shot at or something or ran into something and ejected and then his ship exploded. So then he got nicknamed Fireball.
I'm or, just you know, remembering he, the Big Bang Theory.
Had an accident or something.
Yeah, I'm just remembering the Big Bang Theory when one of the guys are going into space and he's trying to sort of get...
Howard.
Yeah, he's trying to get them to give him a cool nickname and they end up calling him, I think it's like Fruit Loops or something because of his mum calling up doing, want some Fruit Loops?
He's playing Rocket Man by Elton John.
That's
on
right.
On his phone and he's trying to get him because he wants to be Rocket Man. Yeah, and as he's talking to the guy over Skype, his mum calls up and says, Fruit Loops are ready. And then so he ends up being called Fruit Loops.
My dad was in the Navy back in the Vietnam era, and his nickname was White. And I can only imagine it's because he was a pretty pale kid. I've seen the pictures. I can only imagine that's how he got that.
It could have been worse. He probably got away lightly with that one. At least he went called Fireball or Crash Day.
So. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, these things stick with him. His Navy buddies still call him that, you know, 60 years later. Or not 60 years later, but
many years
later.
So anyway, folks, that's Scar. So next episode, we'll be doing Sacrifice. So where can people find you on the internet, Scar?
They can find me by going to Facebook, Google+, Twitter, and I'm at Midnight Shadow 7. That's MIDNITE and number 7.
Okay. Drogon?
Well, all you frackin' frackers out there can frackin' tweet me at Drogon, DROGYN 1701 on frackin' Twitter. Yeah.
And I just like, and back of that, our Twitter feed is actually Frackstars. Yeah, anyway. You can find me on COLMH01 on Twitter. And, of course, feedback to us by Twitter.
Or even Facebook. You can find us at Frackstars on Facebook and Twitter. And on Google+.
Yeah. And Steve handles all them. So if you don't get an answer straight away, blame Steve.
You'll get an answer. What else am I going to do? Sleep?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see if he hasn't got enough to do with all the editing. Yeah, he runs all the social media for us. So until next time, folks, thanks for listening, thanks for downloading, and end of line.